Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So the Las Vegas Raiders have a quarterback problem, and they've got to find one, Ian. The problem is they ain't picking in the top 10 of this draft. And yes, it's a quarterback-heavy draft, but also we expect it to be very quarterback-heavy in the top of this thing. So could we see a world where Las Vegas needs to trade up to get a quarterback? Antonio Pierce, he is now the head coach there in Vegas, and he implied as much. He spoke to The Athletic recently, and he said, I hope whoever we draft, that's the route we go. That's who the starter becomes. So he is very clear that he wants them to draft a quarterback. He went on to say, you don't want to put a Band-Aid on that position. That's old. That's old, man. I think the Raiders, we've seen that enough in this organization. He went on to put the onus on GM Tom Telesco. He said Telesco better start working his magic. And Antonio Pierce has a point here, Ian. They need to fix that position.
Well, and Tom Telesco is a remarkable evaluator of talent. You know, now, as far as head coaches, you know, you can go ahead and question Tom on the guys he hired as a general manager of the L.A. Chargers, from Anthony Lynn to, you know, Brandon Staley. And sticking with Staley way too long. I mean, there's no defending that. But when you talk about talent eval, I mean, he is one of the best out there. I mean, look at Justin Herbert. I mean, Justin Herbert was an introvert. You know, and I was one of the ones screaming, hey, I wouldn't take him. I wouldn't take Justin Herbert coming out of Oregon. I don't want an introvert as my quarterback, and I had him three times that year, including Auburn, and he was horrendous, absolutely horrendous against Auburn. Now, that defensive front led by Derrick Brown, I mean, I'd probably be seeing ghosts also, right, if I were a quarterback against that particular defense. But Telesco pulled the trigger. Rest is literally football history. So when it comes to talent eval, especially a quarterback, he's a Bill Polian disciple. If he sees a guy that he believes is worth moving up to go get, he's going to make Antonio Pierce very, very happy. And, you know, they're sitting there at 13, Amber, but the biggest problem is, and you kind of alluded to this, the top three are going to be gone 1, 2, 3. There's zero doubt in I think, in our minds, right, that Williams, right, May, Daniels are all going to be gone by the time the Arizona Cardinals come on the clock at 4. So now you're looking at J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix. And then you have the Donkeys of Denver sitting there at 12.
Right.
Right in front of them. So if you want J.J. McCarthy, if you want Bo Nix, if you want Michael Penix Jr., which a lot of people have second-round grades on, you know, Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, but there's still a first-round grade on a bit, it's still been unknown in McCarthy, only because, not in my mind, but in a lot of people's minds, because he didn't have to throw the ball a lot this year. Hell, as we talked about earlier this week, he didn't play in 7 fourth quarters this year because Michigan was just beating the ever-loving hell out of the first half of that schedule, which was so weak. So how many passes did he throw against Penn State? Like 9?
Right. He didn't have to.
Yeah, he didn't. He just kept feeding Corum and Edwards, right? And the rest is literally history. So if the Raiders want a quarterback, they're going to have to move up, at least in front of Denver, to even try and get J.J. McCarthy. And is he worth moving up to go get?
Right. And how many spots are you moving up to try to get him? You have to play that game as well. Pierce did say to The Athletic that he wants a proven winner, quote, end quote. So, hey, J.J. McCarthy,
check.
Proven winner, right? Falls
Penix
into
Jr.,
that category.
Check. Bo Nix, right? Check.
Right? Falls into that category. Q Myers, he hosts Game Night right here on ESPN Radio every night after Amber and Ian. He is also at the Combine this week in Indianapolis, Indiana. And he also is on local radio in Las Vegas. He also hosts a Raiders podcast. He never stops working, this Q Myers, but he's very plugged into the Las Vegas Raiders organization. So when I had Q on last night, I asked him, what are the Raiders' plans here with this upcoming draft?
Well, I'll tell you this. They're at 13. I do believe in my heart that they want to get up to 3. I think Jaden Daniels is who they want. He has the relationship with AP going back to Arizona State. He recruited him, right? He shouted him out when he won the Heisman Trophy. He was in the locker room week 18 after the Raiders beat the Broncos at Allegiant Stadium. That's who they want. But as we all know, there's a lot of things we all want that we can't get. They're at 13. They've got to find a trade partner to try to go get him. So are the Washington Commanders willing to trade out of 2? The Patriots out of 3? I'm sure the Bears ain't going to trade all the way down from 1 to 13. That would be kind of wild, but, you know, whatever. If that's possible, then that's what the move that they make. If not, well, then they've got to make a decision. Are they going to get another quarterback and potentially settle, or are they going to go with a defensive lineman, offensive lineman, build the trenches up like a lot of teams do? But first and foremost, the most important thing for the Raiders is try to find and identify who their quarterback's going to be. The Raiders can't force a dance partner as much as, you know, they might want to say, New England, trade right now. Make that happen because we need our quarterback. Well, guess what? The Patriots need their quarterback. The Commanders need their quarterback. The Bears need their quarterback. The Cardinals need their quarterback. The Vikings might need their quarterback. Broncos need their quarterback. There's a lot of teams that need their quarterback, so it's not as easy as just go do it as much as the Raiders would like to. And the AP even said, hey, everyone's got a price. We'll see. Does everyone have a price?
I mean, there's a lot of teams here in the top 10 who frankly need quarterbacks, yep. Particularly those top 3 teams. And so if you're expecting one of them to trade out of the top 3, and yet the Bears, the Commanders, and the Patriots all themselves need quarterbacks, how far are they willing to go? Now, if one, you might get lucky, because it is possible that one of those 3 teams, even though they have a big need at quarterback as well, they're in love with Bo Nix, or they're in love with somebody that they think they can get in some other draft position. So sure, I'll go back to 13 and give you 3, I guess. I mean, the hole that would take in order to get a Jaden Daniels, it seems like, as much as it sounds like the Raiders are going to want to do it, it seems very difficult to actually get done.
I think it's more J.J. McCarthy than any of those other 3, because I don't believe the Patriots are moving out of it. I don't think Washington is, and I don't think the Bears are. And I was at a UFL event last night for their town hall. And so I'm in this green room with Bob Stoops, Daryl Moose Johnston, Russ Brandon, former CEO, president of Buffalo Bills for over 2 decades, and Rick Mueller, former GM of the year with the New Orleans Saints. And I didn't say a damn word, Amber, for about an hour. I just listened. And one thing constantly came up, and the one question I did pose to all of them was, when it comes to quarterback play in this draft, and they all just stopped me, all of them, to a person. And Rick Mueller is one that said, it doesn't matter how many draft picks you have. You could hit on your next 40 picks, all of them, stars. But if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. And that's partly why I changed my mind earlier this week about the Bears, right? I mean, the Washington Commanders could offer 3 ones and 3 twos. That's a haul. Right. But if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. Now, I still like Justin Fields, but the point here with the Raiders, to go from 13 into that top 3, probably, I mean, at minimum top 3, right, to get Jaden Daniels, who has that, as Q pointed out, you know, that connection with Antonio Pierce going back to Arizona State when AP recruited him with Herm Edwards, it ain't going to happen. You know, the Bears still have the 9th overall pick, but, you know, I mean, so you want J.J. McCarthy, you could easily get him there, but
right.
Bottom line is, those are – franchise quarterbacks, potential franchise quarterbacks at 1, 2, and 3 in Williams, Daniels, May, whichever order you want to put them in. So everything I heard last night, again, if you can hit on every draft pick you have over the next 3 years, but if you don't have a quarterback, you do not have a shot at winning a Lombardi. So having said all of that, good luck to the Raiders if you want to get in the top 3, because I don't think it's going to happen.
And then there's teams like Atlanta, right, sitting at 8.
Absolutely.
That could take a
the
quarterback.
Giants at 6.
I mean, mock, right, the Giants at 6 could take a quarterback. Yes, Mel's latest mock does not have either of those teams taking a quarterback there in the top 10, but there are easily teams that could surprise us here who have needs or may have needs coming up here at the quarterback position. What you just said about the Bears, though, very interesting. A lot of people forget that they also have the 9th pick. So if they were in love with J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or one of these later guys, they could still just trade away the 1st pick for an absolute haul and still use their top 10 pick to go ahead and get a different guy. Anyway, you stack it, the Raiders not in a very good situation to take one of those top quarterbacks. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, Tom Brady continues to prove that age ain't nothing but a number. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
There's another guy who is actually retired, Ian, who we normally associate with defying age, who is still somehow defying it, even though he's no longer playing his sport. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. So Tom Brady played until he was 45 years old, won a bunch of Super Bowls, did everything in the game that you can do, and blew all of our minds with how well he was still doing it at the end there in Tampa Bay. Now he's blowing our minds even further when he should be sipping Mai Tais on a mega yacht somewhere, preparing for his hundreds of millions of dollars worth of contract for broadcasting that he's going to be with Fox.
What's he getting,
this
like $300
million,
right? Isn't that right?
I think it's $300 million. I can't even keep up. It's so... so insane to me. But, you know, $300 million, that's like a Tuesday for old Tom. So he's preparing to be a color commentator there.
It's true.
For the NFL next season. He should be probably doing that, in my opinion anyways, on, you know, a mega yacht somewhere. However, apparently he's at the combine and he's still showing off. And what he's showing off, Ian, is that he is faster at 46 years young than he was at 22 when he had his original 40-yard dash at the NFL Combine. So his original 40-yard dash at 22 was 5.28 seconds. At 46, he clocked 5.18 seconds and 5.1 2 seconds. He's
faster
at 46 than 22.
I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, what can you do better athletically at the age of 46 than you could at 22? There's only one thing I can think of. I mean, and you know, we can open up the phones on this one. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What can you do better at the age of 46 than you did at 22? And oh, by the way, Tara Slajewski, who's in for James Steele, our producer tonight, we shorted him. It's 10 years, $375 million
to
get in the broadcast.
Yeah, we did, apparently.
To short you.
Sorry, Tom. 375. The 75 mil. That's
scoop of vanilla, scoop
really
of
the
chocolate,
icing,
right?
On the cake,
yeah,
for you. I mean, also, I don't know if Brady actually – I'm not sure Brady – I said he's at the combine. He actually had friends clock this latest 40-yard dash on video.
I mean, this is – when you really think about 24 years later and you are faster at 46 than you were when you actually entered the NFL draft, that's absurd. The only thing I think I could do better now than I did when I was 22 is play golf. That's it, because I actually played more of it. I haven't recently. I miss it. But that's about the only thing that I could do better. Now I'm 52, but even at 46 – than I did when, and then compared to 22, is play golf. At 22, I drank a lot better. I'm pathetic at that now. I pretty much gave it up because I'm not good at it anymore.
Everyone says that. Gosh, I haven't really had that experience.
It hurts too much now.
That's what everyone tells me. I don't feel like I've had that same experience with age that everybody else has had, where everyone tells me, like, my body just can't handle it anymore. I just don't do it like I used to. So I don't know if my body can handle it to the same degree as when I guess maybe I just don't have the desire to. Now, when I go out now and drink, you know, it's like a martini or a couple martinis, whatever. Like, it's not, it's not anything that I'm going to have
I
the effects.
On college visits with my oldest daughter.
Way.
Yeah. Rowan last weekend, 3 days in college. No, I mean, I'm retired. I got no shot, right? I'm done But to be able to – like, let me ask you this. Tom Brady right now, if he was in this draft at the age of 46, current Tom Brady, do you think there's a team out there that would spend a first-round draft pick to have him maybe for a year or two?
No.
I disagree.
Not at 46.
I disagree. I think the Atlanta Falcons believe they're a quarterback away. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers believe they're a quarterback away. I think the Raiders would probably go, you know what? Yeah, we'll draft him at 13 for a year or two.
Because all of those guys would much rather, all of those teams you just mentioned, would much rather draft the 22-year-old on a rookie deal than the 46-year-old on a one-year deal. I understand what you're saying, though. Like,
ball.
If all things. The problem with your hypo is deals, right? Is the longevity of deals, salary cap, sport. If we kind of erased all of that,
no,
if we erased like
crap.
The money aspect of it,
if
and we're just talking about the talent in a one-year vacuum with everybody. Everybody's available to you for one single year, whether they're 22 or 46. Would he get drafted? Yes, he would still get drafted
at
46 years old in that hypothetical, which is insane to say. Now, I am... At 41 years young, I am stronger at 41 than I was at 22.
That's impressive.
I trained a lot harder because when I was 22 in college, like I just started kind of working out. And then my mid-20s, I fell in love with it and then ended up becoming a personal trainer and all of that. So for me, my real training and all of that like was, you know, basically 25 plus. So I'm definitely stronger at 41 than I was at 22. I don't know if overall I'm in better. I'm probably in better shape at 41 than I was at 22, honestly. But again, some of that's a knock on. I mean, my metabolism was better at 22. Like there was things that came easier at 22. But I'm in better shape now because of the work I put in over the years. Some of that is a knock on what I was doing at 22, though, because I wasn't putting in the same amount of effort.
Yeah, and think about this. If you are just tuning in, Tom Brady today ran a faster 40 time at the age of 46 at 5.1. He had two friends clock him. One clocked him at 5.18, the other at 5.12, and at the age of 46. His original 40 time at the NFL Combine coming out of Michigan, but again, when he was 22 years old, 24 years ago, was a 5.28. He was faster today than he was when he was 22. That's kicking father time right in the teeth. I mean, it should not be humanly possible. Now, look, it's still slow as hell. Glaciers move faster than Tom Brady, right?
That's the thing. Is some of this we have to keep in mind is that a 5.2840 that he put up at 22 is pretty abysmal. for an NFL player at 22 years old, that's kind of embarrassing. And so it stands to reason that after 24 years of training, his fast twitch muscle fibers, he has now increased that speed.
Avocado tequila,
by
no
10
tomatoes.
Seconds.
All that,
no, I'm sorry, 0.1 of a second.
It all worked.
By 24 years of avocado ice cream, no tomatoes, and honing in on his fast twitch muscle fibers, he has increased his speed by 0.1 of a second or whatever it is.
That still should not be humanly possible. Like, look what LeBron is doing right now. At the age of 39, averaging 25 points a game, he outscored the Clippers last night in the fourth quarter by himself in a 21-point comeback.
LeBron is not faster than he was at 22, and he cannot jump higher than he
but
was at 22. The difference there is that LeBron at 22 was like prime, was like optimum speed. Agility.
Up in the prime, if you want to just go that route, yeah.
Right. Probably, honestly, with a man, normally it's more like 28. But regardless, in his 20s, he would be at the height of speed, agility, all of that, because he also worked on all that. I don't know if Tom. I think we're learning old Tom at 22, a little lazy. That's what I'm saying.
Probably when he was splitting time with Drew Henson at Michigan. Imagine that too. By the way, when at Michigan, he was splitting time with Drew Bleeping Henson.
Oh man!
I mean, you think Lloyd Carr's going? You know, I kind of missed that one. Maybe I screwed that one up. But bottom line is, what LeBron is doing at 39, and then freaking terrific Tommy going out there and running a faster 40 time at the age of 46, and he did at 22, really makes me want to throw up. I mean, it's nauseating.
I love it.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievably inspiring. Age ain't nothing but a number, which I have been saying ever since I myself got to an age where it makes sense to say that. And I mean it. Age ain't nothing but a number, kiddos. Tom, old Tom, he's proven that. I am here for it. Also, maybe the advice here then is also to set the bar low when you're in your early 20s.
Avoid disappointment.
So you look really good in your 40s. So there's that too. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, how space and pigeons became two of the most popular topics at the NFL Combine today.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
And Tara. Hello, Tara.
Hello.
Take it away.
Why can I never get this right?
I told you on Monday it's the same exact thing.
Yeah, but
just different topics as one thought.
I guess it's just the intro.
How do you want me? I feel like I need to be doing something to help. So, like, I say hello, Tara, and then you say hello. And then I need to
take it away or something.
All right. Okay. All right. We got that. Okay.
We're going to get this right one day.
I'm telling you, it's no different from Freddie throwing it to you for one thought. It's our cue. It's the exact same thing.
She needs a little coaching. It's fine. I'll tee her up next time better.
Tara, you crack me up.
Here's some things that are going to crack you up. Thursday was conspiracy theory day at the NFL Combine, apparently. Illinois tight end Tip Riman joined in on the Birds Aren't Real movement, which is apparently a thing, asking whether anyone has ever seen a baby pigeon and whether we know that power lines are not just pigeon recharging stations. Meanwhile, Texas Tech safety Tyler Owens revealed that he doesn't believe in space and other planets. And flat earth conspiracy theories have some valid points. Is it a big deal or not a big deal, Amber?
Yeah, it's a big deal that there's this much stupidity about to enter the NFL. I don't know what to do with it. It's also a big deal, Ian, that these guys feel so empowered to just say all these things that I imagine none of it really hurts your draft stock because it's funny. But if there was any team that was paying real attention to the things being said because they were on the fence about where you're going to be on their draft board.
Right. That's the kicker.
Denying
right?
the existence of space and planets, not the existence of alien life, by the way. He's denying the existence of planets, period, and space, period. That seems like something that could maybe knock you down a peg on a draft board, no?
First, on the Illini, I mean, how do you feel when you're washing windows when you know there's pigeons on the roof, to quote Widespread Panic, right? So, I mean, that's a bird. It's while you're washing the windows, it might defecate on what you just washed. So think about that.
I did not know there was a Birds Aren't Real movement. I did not know that was a thing until Tara just said that.
I didn't know it was a thing before today either. Apparently, it's a big social media thing.
I don't believe
birds are real.
Had no clue. None. Zero. Zilch. Until tonight. So I had no idea about that one. And then as far as T. Brown out of Texas Tech, he might run the fastest 40 at the Combine. He's a pretty good player. I mean, he's a later draft, probably a fifth, sixth round type pick. But if you're splitting hairs between, to your point, Amber, do you take this guy or this guy, and you have them on the draft board, and they're sitting there right next to each other. The fact that Brown out of Texas Tech does not believe that there are other planets out there when it's documented, just look up, as you mentioned in our pre-show meeting, which is the easiest one to really kind of debunk his theory of there aren't any planets out there. Just look up at night.
Right.
You see those things called stars, and that little thing called the moon?
Mm-hmm.
That's real. unless you believe that you were living in a bubble and that's just a canvas over your
head. Those stars are actually suns that, by the way, are being circulated by other planets.
Right.
And not even in an our solar system. Never to mention the ones that, you know, are right here that we can see with all the technology.
Right. So I would say big deal, yes, for the potential of splitting hair. Not a big deal because it actually cracked us up a lot. He also, by the way, Brown out of Texas Tech also believes, or doesn't believe, but he actually gives some credence to Kyrie Irving's theory that the Earth is flat.
Right.
There you go. Right there. He could be on your NFL roster.
I do like the whole power lines, though, recharging the pigeons. Like, that's creative. Although maybe it's not. It's probably on TikTok somewhere, so maybe it's not creative. The first time I heard it, it sounded creative to me. If you're going to deny the existence of birds, you have to have an explanation for how they're out there working.
I had no idea that was a movement.
It makes sense that if you don't believe in space, you're going to think the Earth is flat. Because, like, at this point, really the best evidence we have for the Earth not being flat is pictures from space. But if you don't believe
in space, that no one's fallen off of it, Tara, so there's that. Like, the fact that you cannot fall off of the Earth.
No, nobody's fallen off of it that we know of.
The whole reason that we discovered the Earth was round was because sailors used to go out, like explorers used to go out on ships, and then they're like, hey, we didn't actually fall off the horizon. We're just going and going and going.
Maybe that's where all the birds went. They flew off.
That's pretty good.
Oh, man.
Shohei Ohtani revealed on Instagram early Thursday that he was married. Much of the relationship remained shrouded in mystery. Quote, she is a Japanese woman. I don't really feel comfortable talking about when I got married exactly, but she's a normal Japanese woman, unquote. Ohtani said through an interpreter. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts said the team had no idea before the announcement. Big deal or not a big deal, Ian?
Not big deal for him, not a big deal for me. Really big deal for her. So, I mean, kudos to this average Japanese woman who married the $700 million
man.
Exactly. But big deal for those two. But for me, no, not a big deal. Congratulations, though, Shohei.
Yeah, she's an average woman who just happened to marry one of the most famous athletes in the world who's worth $700 million now. That's such an average woman. Otherwise, not a big deal. It's interesting his soft launch here, like his marriage soft launch, where he's like, people do this with divorce, right? Where they don't want to discuss it. Maybe they'll just mention it as a blip or whatever. This is like the Shohei Ohtani marriage soft launch, what we call in social media as a soft launch, Ian, where he's soft launching the relationship without actually explaining anything about it or having anybody know anything about it. He just wants the world to know that he's married. He's going to see how that goes. What is the reaction to me being married to a normal Japanese woman?
I love the fact that you went ahead and preempted the question by answering it before I posed the question to you about what is a soft launch.
Yeah. That's what people do on social media. If you soft launch a relationship,
there we go.
Where you kind of put it
soft
up.
Launches and birds don't exist movement.
You put it up, see the reaction, see how it works out.
Can I just, I need to add though. So like his personal life is his personal life. But I just feel like for someone who got a quote unquote $700 million deal, it's not really for $700 million. But anyway, he's such a superstar. He tries so hard to hide from like any attention. And like the personal life stuff part of it, not so much, but like he went from like last August to when he signed with the Dodgers without speaking to the media at all. Like when his season
it's a little
ended,
bit.
And it's like, dude, you're getting paid this much. You're the biggest star in baseball right now. You gotta embrace it a little bit on some levels and understand that you're gonna have to speak to the media a little bit more.
It's a little bit like, hey, Shohei, it's part of your job, buddy. And that's kind of my attitude across the board when these really famous athletes, like Tara is saying, sort of shy away from the media attention because it's all part of it. It's all part of the job. Now, I don't know if he does that in Japan. I don't know if some of that is a discomfort
here. Ichiro was like that,
here.
Though, with the Mariners.
That's true.
He didn't talk a lot.
Although at the end, he was...
He was much different at the end of his career.
That is absolutely true. And so maybe some of that's a comfort level also of being in a foreign country and adjusting to life and all that kind of thing. And then the language barrier, obviously, as well. You're speaking through translators, so you might not trust the system enough to go out and like just speak openly. Might be a weirder thing for you to do. So whatever. But I mean, when it comes to the personal life, I get it to an extent. Tua did this. recently on the NFL side. Tua just kind of showed up one day and was like, oh, I'm married. And we're like, huh?
Braids.
Good for you, I guess.
Let's sneak one more story in. Another baseball one. The Philadelphia Phillies officially ended Dollar Hot Dog Night on Thursday and replaced Dollar Dogs on select dates with a two-for-one deal. A statement from the team said the change was made, quote, based on the organization's ongoing commitment to provide a positive experience for all fans in attendance, unquote. Now, you're probably asking, what wasn't positive about Dollar Hot Dogs?
I was about to ask that very question.
Some unruly Phillies fans began chucking their hot dogs during a game last season throughout the stands and onto the field. Demand for the discount dogs also led to clogged lanes on the concourse, leading to security and safety concerns. Amber, big deal or not a big deal?
So replacing dollar dogs with more expensive dogs and two-for-one deals is going to stop some of this fan behavior? Like, that was the whole problem, is that these hot dogs were too cheap? Or is it just that people were too...
dollar, I guess you feel better about, okay, I can waste this and chuck this on the field. But if you're paying $5 for the hot dog, you're not going to chuck it on the field.
I guess. I feel like if you're drunk and you want to chuck a hot dog onto the field, then you're probably going to do it either way. I don't know. I've never had the mindset to do such a thing. So I guess I'm not sure I can understand the thinking behind it, the rationale behind it. Overall, not a big deal, Ian. I'm not a big hot dog connoisseur, are you?
Oh, I love me a good hot dog. Oh, you man, on my Blackstone, butterfly that hot dog. Oh, hell yeah. You know, some diced onions, cheddar cheese, bacon bits, toast the bun, butter it up a little bit, get down and attack. Absolutely. I love a good hot dog. But not a dollar dog because that thing's been boiled and nasty. But it's not a big deal because it's Philly. It's expected. There you go.
Yeah, that's the other thing about this. I feel like that's just Philly fans.
That only happens in Philly.
Again, I'm not sure. And they embrace
it.
Dogs.
They own
it,
right? Yeah, it's Philly. There you go.
Like, they've thrown batteries before in that city. Like, I don't know if it's the hot dogs that are the problem. I'm just saying. Terry, you got anything else?
Nope, that's it. We're going to end on the hot dog note.
When's the last time you had a good hot dog, Tara?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know, but I am pro hot dog.
Love a good hot dog.
I'm not brats. Like anti-hot dog.
Love a good brat. I'll actually put a brat and boil it in beer and then put it on put it on the
now
grill.
Now we're talking. Yeah. Brat, to me, that's like a notch above a hot dog. Coming
you
up
never
next
never put
year.
Ketchup on a hot dog or a brat. Never.
You never put ketchup on a hot dog? What are you
Hell
talking
no.
about?
Sacrilegious.
I understand the brat thing, but I do not understand the hot dog thing.
No.
What are we talking about?
No. Hell no.
Yeah, you're too fancy for me. How big of a boost did the WNBA receive on Thursday after Caitlin Clark announced she was entering the draft that is next year on ESPN Radio?
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You heard it there. Caitlin Clark passed Lynette Woodert's D1 college record last night. She is coming for all of the records, all of them. Amber and Ian hanging out here. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. I am somehow in a group chat that is now a hot dog group chat. It is, in fact, a group chat that has been started here at ESPN Radio. It is broken off from our actual ESPN Radio group chat
like
into just a hot dog group chat. And I'm like, how do I escape this? Where now our programming director is also saying that you don't put ketchup on hot dogs, which I did not understand where Ian and him are coming from. Cam, who is our AP tonight, he's chimed in that chili dogs are where it's at, which is grotesque to me because they're sloppy.
A chili. Hold on a minute. Now, this is where Cam and I are in stuff.
Back me up, Ian.
Look, you want to get? I can get nasty with a chili dog now. Because if we're going to go with the bun, again, you butterfly the hot dog, put it on the Blackstone, get a good sear to it. You want it crispy and a little crispness to it. And then that's where you dump your chili, white onion, sharp, has to be sharp cheddar cheese right on that bad boy with some Tabasco, maybe some jalapenos, and attack. If you're going to go with the bun. I'm going to stack that sucker so high, Cam, that you're going to need a knife and fork to eat it. It's going to, I mean, that's one where there's a nap that's going to be involved.
My family and I do like traditional chili dog day, at least like every Thursday when I used to stay with my mother and father.
Oh, yeah.
Every
yeah.
week.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every week. Little
every
onions in the chili
week.
Dog.
Absolutely.
A little bacon bits.
Now,
oh, yeah.
I like chili and I'm okay with hot dogs. I won't say I like them, but I they're both edible to me. Now, the mixture of the two together seems wholly unnecessary.
No, it's heavenly. No. Absolutely. And you don't put ketchup on a hot dog. That should be almost, you should be locked up in jail for a day if you put ketchup on a hot dog. It just don't
put
do
ketchup
it.
Ketchup and mustard on a hot dog.
No, mustard.
That's what you do.
Mustard, and then if you want to go, I don't even put relish, but I'm okay with it. But, I mean, on a hot dog, that is brown mustard, yellow mustard as your only condiment. Outside, and then you want to put anything else on there, the onions, the cheese, the chili. Come on with it. Jalapenos. I'm all about all of that. But ketchup? Hell no. That should be nearly, I mean, at least state, maybe a federal offense.
I never knew that there was a community of hot dog elitists, but now I know, and I am surrounded by them here at ESPN Radio.
Cam, would you ever put ketchup on a hot dog?
Never.
Thank you.
Hot dog elitists. Who knew? They do exist. Caitlin Clark. I don't know her hot dog preference, but I do know that she's headed to the WNBA after this season. We got that news today, Ian. I don't think it's shocking information by any means, but there were some people that were really hoping that they'd see her back at Iowa for one more season.
Me being one of them. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on this because, look, I said this before and I'll say it again. Right now, Caitlin Clark is the most popular basketball player in college right now, mm-hmm. men's or women's. You ask anybody walking down Times Square or in downtown Dallas where I live or where you are in Sarasota, Florida, or in L.A., you know, I would guarantee you if they're remotely even a fringe basketball fan, if you ask them, do you know who Caitlin Clark is? They might not know where she plays, but they're going to go, she's that basketball player. Minimum, right? I mean, she is – that
if you said
popular.
If you went up to random people and said name a college basketball player, there's probably a
right
lot
now.
Of people who could only give you the name Caitlin
yeah.
Clark
I mean,
and
they,
could
they,
not
they,
utter yep. a single other name, men or women, right?
If you went Kyle Filipowski,
right?
Huh?
No, huh?
Caitlin Clark, she plays basketball, right? I mean, they may not know exactly, but they're going to know the name.
And that's not a knock on Filipowski, by the
no,
way. That's just
hell,
the insanity that is Caitlin Clark and the
dominant.
Brand that she's become.
Yeah, I mean, Paige Bueckers, take a back seat, right? I mean, right. You know, Buckets Bueckers is not even close to where Caitlin Clark is right now. I mean, Angel Reese is not any close to where Caitlin Clark
is
right now.
Right.
So here's what's interesting. She's gone ahead and said, yeah, after this year is done, I'm going to the WNBA. And she'll be the number one overall pick, hands down, it's over. She has an estimated NIL deal this year for nearly $1 million. Will she make – could she make more by staying at Iowa next year with NIL money than she could as a rookie in the WNBA with endorsements?
So, obviously, in terms of salary, when we talk about the WNBA, it ain't like the playing field that we're talking about with the NBA and comparing that to NIL, right? So, the disparity isn't going to be the same. A lot of these women, from a salary perspective, make more through NIL than they are from the salary in the WNBA. That's certainly going to be the case with Caitlin Clark. However, one of the things that I think that we forget is it's not just her WNBA salary, but why can't she also have endorsements, essentially NIL deals, but at the WNBA level? It's not as if Caitlin Clark can't have endorsement deals and brands around her and be promoting products just because she's in the WNBA. All of that, I think, just increases in the WNBA. Now, the one thing I question is whether the fanfare around it is watered down at all by the elite and great that is around her in the WNBA. In other words, there's a lot of other big names in the WNBA as well.
Well,
right?
She still have the gate. I think, and I just looked it up. Right now, she has deals in her NIL from Gatorade, State Farm, Nike, Buick, Topps, and H&R Block. Those are some blue blood brands, right? To your point, Will she still have those at the next level when you have so many other remarkable players that are now around?
Right.
And my answer to that question is, hell yes, she will.
Yeah,
absolutely she will. Because of what she has accomplished and her own brand that she has built in college basketball at Iowa.
Right. And I think that's why she's not scared of making that move. Now, she'll make on her rookie contract, if she's the number one overall pick and her fourth year options picked up, she'll make about $1 million in salary from the WNBA. But those other deals, the Nike deals and those other things that she has in college, she can certainly have those at the WNBA level and then some. I just wonder, she right now is the face of college basketball. Is she going to be immediately, as a rook, the face of the WNBA? No. So that's the only thing. I guess that's the only risk. Is does your brand take a little hit here? Because welcome to the big leagues, right? You ain't gonna be the face of it anymore.
INSQ at Oregon was one of the most popular players in all of college basketball, men's or women's. Her popularity took a dip, right, when she went to the WNBA. It skyrocketed back up when she went toe-to-toe with Steph Curry in the three-point contest at the All-Star game. By the way, sign me up, Sabrina and Caitlin Clark versus Steph and whomever else you want to put with them. Let's go at it.
Yeah, that's got to be the next iteration. You can get Dame out there. Cam just said in my ear, the WNBA Draft 2024 presented by State Farm will be held Monday, April 15th, the famed Brooklyn Academy of Music. So that's when we expect that Caitlin Clark will be going with the number one overall pick. That will be live on ESPN. Coverage will be beginning at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Coming up next here, what prospects have impressed the most so far at the NFL Combine? We'll talk about that next on ESPN Radio.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.